Hey, straight from Verge Magazine in Alternative Sport, here with my F1 buddies, my friends, pals, amigos. I'll start being ladies first. Grace in line, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine and dandy and, you know, waiting for the recovery from Mercedes, but we'll get back to that before Oliver says anything whatsoever. And yes, I did say your whole name. Aldas, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, man. I'm very good. It's been actually a long time coming because the last time we met, I think it was like Formula E or something. So yeah, Formula E, the London E Prix last year. So yeah, it's been a while, but I'm happy to be on and always good to talk F1. So yeah, looking forward to it.
I feel like we're all batting with the big boys here. You know, that Aldous is in this. I'm hearing his voice is like he's navigating me through a story or something that's happening during the world of F1. So I feel immense pressure to keep up to that level, and I probably will fail, but at least I'm going to take the other two with me as well. Ollie, how are you, sir?
I'm good, mate. I don't know whether to launch into a Mercedes rant after what you said or be surprised that you use my full name so I know that I'm in trouble because only my mum does that. Or if I should just call you out for you've already fouled up with Two Take Dre stepping into the show already. So you're already intimidated by the big dogs that you've got on this podcast, mate. So look, it can only get better from this point on. Don't worry about it. Much like everybody else in Formula One aside from Red Bull.
Oh, you know what? All right, you'll keep. Don't worry about that because, you know, the winds of change are coming at some point soon, I'm really hoping. Right, so I'm going to hit you guys with the news that we've got to catch up with in the world of F1. So I'm going to go with the top line stuff. I'll come back to you straight away, Ollie. Ferrari have confirmed that Charles Leclerc is going to be hit with a grid penalty. Things just seem to be getting like bad to worse at Ferrari. I mean,
the guy can't catch a break.
What say you?
I feel so sorry for Charles Leclerc because he's quite clearly this phenomenal driver and last year had this fantastic car for Ferrari that they made too many mistakes on the pit wall. They had the power unit problems that cost Charles Leclerc being able to compete and already a retirement in the first Grand Prix of the season in Bahrain. And now you're stuck behind the eight ball with a grid penalty going into Saudi Arabia when really I think the whole of the F1 world is hoping to see somebody bounce back and try and push Red Bull. Everybody thought that would be Ferrari. Everybody thought it would be the Ferrari of Charles Leclerc. Already got a bit of a hill to climb, though, going into the second race of the season. So sympathies, certainly, for the Monegasque man.
Right, and then I'm going to come to you, Grace. So Lando Norris has been, like, effectively, like, you know, all the chat's been about him and the whole meltdown with McLaren. People kind of... I feel like they're willing him to want to go somewhere else, but he's, you know, denied that this crisis mode in McLaren. What say you?
I think that there is this crazy propensity wherever things are getting tough for a driver or a team to suddenly predict these wild moves, okay? It happens every single time. Either it's going to be a villain arc and they're going to come back strong and beat the whole grid and win a world championship, or they're going to jump ship. And actually, I think that Lando's quite right to shut these sort of rumours down and say, look, I am a McLaren guy for now. This is my team. We're going to stick together through thick and thin. It's a nice way to stop those rumours swirling. But it is fun. It is fun to
You left that door open, so I'm going to walk right through it. So you're alluding to the fact that it's for now. Where can you see him going? Do you, like, 2 years' time? I don't know how long the contract is. I can't remember. Aldous will tell me. But where do you see him going if he does leave? 2025, all right.
2025,
right. Not that long, actually. Not that far away.
I just can't see him in red. So I think the Red Bull rumours probably have the most stock behind them, personally. Other than that, it's Mercedes, and I think there's a long succession line that he'd have to get behind before he was able to go there. So I think people are right to be thinking Red Bull, but it's just a little bit too early.
Adas, please give me some good news because I want it him. He, you know, Lando's one of my favourite people ever, just in the world. Now, please tell me that there's a path in his career that's going to end up in Mercedes.
I think it depends how long he waits out with McLaren, to be fair, because I definitely think that he isn't the same, even if he's trying to hide it, the fact that McLaren is struggling, he's clearly disappointed once again, because it's not that McLaren can't develop a car well throughout the year, because we saw that towards the end of last year, they were kind of okay, but he doesn't seem kind of the same happy, you know, bubbly character that he was 2 years ago. He does seem to be just a little bit more down, which I think is just a bit of the frustration kind of boiling over. But yeah, whether he ends up, you know, Mercedes is a weird one because I think it all depends on Lewis Hamilton and his motivation. Because, you know, if Lewis did decide, let's just say, you know, hypothetically, which I don't think he will, because I still think he has another 2 or 3 years in him. Even if he did hypothetically decide to, say, go at the end of the year, I think Lando would be a really nice replacement. You know, George and Lando get along quite well. But I do like the idea of Lando at Red Bull because I think Christian Horner, I mean, I remember watching Drive to Survive, I think last year. And the way Christian Horner was like talking him up, like he clearly likes Lando as a person. He likes him as a driver, I think, as well. And I think even for Lando, you know, he's a guy that's, you know, has done a lot on social media, has that kind of massive brand as well. And I think Red Bull is actually a team that are kind of, they'd allow him to kind of explore those avenues even more, whether it's, you know, through YouTube or like commercial stuff as well. So, just in terms of an environment, I think he'd fit into Red Bull a little bit more, but stepping into Max's team, I think, is a bit dangerous. So just from a driver, you know, point of view, I think he'd rather step into Mercedes and into kind of George Russell's team as it would be then than Max's team. But yeah, it's all about when McLaren can give him that car. And if they can't, how quickly, you know, his contract might run out, I think, at the end of 2025, but if a big team comes calling, you can't just, you know, you can't say no to that. So, yeah, I think I'd love to see him at Mercedes, but I think Red Bull perhaps is the bigger option.
Are you saying that we're going to have another Red Bull car reveal that's just filled with like a Lando Norris esports half an hour as well to delay the process even more if he goes there? I want less of that tat around Red Bull. I want far more racing, less of like linking to it to extreme sports.
You lot are doing the most at the moment. There's a lot of influencing going on. I've never seen so much shameless plugging from all people that are non-F1 related. You know, now that I'm being anointed in the F1 family, then I can look down on the other influencers.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Dre's just waiting for his plug to come through from Red Bull. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just waiting for that to come through.
Hey, when that happens, it's release the tapes time, Dre, I'm afraid. Sorry.
I don't think I can. I literally don't think I can in any form of way. I think that is no. But I'm sure that Ollie's going to come back to you on this after I ask you this, Aldas. Do you think, let's say, for example, you know, basically in a nutshell, I'm just a regular fan, newbie as such to the world of F1, like, you know, casual, you know, passionate fan. Let me put myself in that bracket. I'm getting a bit worried that this is going to be just a repeat of last year, and is literally going to have the same person winning again and again and again, you know. And like, is there any hope for a challenge, even from within his own Max Verstappen's own team with Sergio Perez? Is he actually allowed to challenge him, or is this like going to be a foregone conclusion?
Well, first of all, actually, let's clear up the whole, you know, Red Bull thing, because in terms of Sergio Perez, I think I think he actually had a really good, you know, first race. Like, yeah, he got jumped at the start, but, you know, he got back through, you know, Charles Leclerc. And in the end, although he did finish, I think, like 20 seconds behind Max, like, he did still get to second place with a dominant car. But even though Checo can have those highlights, and certainly, I think, you know, street tracks seem to be, like, his really kind of forte, he's just not consistent throughout the season to kind of really be able to challenge Max across, you know, a 24-race calendar. And that's the problem, because Max is relentless. You know, he's there every single weekend, whether it's rain or shine, whatever track it is. And so I think, yeah, from Red Bull, I think also for them, they're kind of secretly happy that Checo isn't, you know, kind of pushing Max, you know, every single weekend, because ultimately that might cause a bit of friction. So I think Red Bull are doing fine. Now, in terms of the other teams, like, just to inject a bit of hope for everyone else, it's one race in the longest F1 calendar of all time. So it is just one race. And even think about last year from, say, the Red Bull perspective and how they kind of developed the car. You know, the beginning of the season, I think Ferrari had the better car in 2022. But I think as the season progressed, and especially after the summer break, the Red Bull wasn't just better, it was dominant. So there is still that opportunity. And Ferrari weren't miles off, if we're being honest, you know, like, especially in qualifying, Leclerc was only, I think, a few tenths. So yes, Red Bull do have kind of the advantage at the moment, but there is still such a long way to go in this season. I think there's plenty of time for Ferrari to get better. I think Mercedes are just a little bit too far away. I think they're a little bit closer than they were last year, but yeah, it's going to be a big struggle for Mercedes to kind of push for the title. I don't think that's going to be happening, but we do have the excitement of Aston Martin and Fernando Alonso in there. there as well. So no one saw that storyline, you know, coming. So yes, to inject a little bit more hope into everyone's hearts, kind of, there is still such a long way to go. Ferrari are going to bounce back. A little bit of pressure is actually off their shoulders now. You know, they've had that reliability issue. Some of the expectations are actually kind of lowered now. So perhaps that might free them up a little bit. And then, yeah, we don't know what Aston Martin, they're a wild card on every single race now. You know, are they the second best team on the grid? Are they the third? Could they even challenge Red Bull on some tracks? So, yeah, don't worry. There is still plenty of the season to go. However, if we do get like six or seven races into the season and Max has won like five or six of them, my argument is going to, I'm going to run out of arguments.
Oh, don't worry. So, I'll bring you, yeah. You'll be back on for this one. That's for sure. We'll hold you personally responsible for the rest
Brilliant.
Of the season.
Yeah.
Before Ollie comes and tries to clean up the mess. So what I heard from what Adas just said, Grace, is that it's more about the car than the driver with Red Bulls. You know, is did you hear that, or am I just being a hater?
I get where you're coming from. I think, yeah, to provide that little bit of alternative perspective, I would say that probably the only chance Perez is going to have to win, by my predictions, is when Max DNS for some reason.
Yeah, but is he allowed to? Is he
That's
allowed?
A different this is what question, I'm going
right? Is he actually allowed? Both cars are working order. There's not any, like, you know, orders, fingers crossed. But I just don't feel that he's allowed to race. I think there's like an unwritten rule.
And that's the only impression we can have, right? Based on what happened in Brazil when Max said, no, you know what he did, and we've talked about this. It left everybody. It was just the perfect, most delicious, spectacular thing you could say for the fandom to just implode on itself. But I think that Red Bull do have a bit of public image damage control to be done in terms of, we are a team, we have two drivers. Because... No, their notoriety for the last five, six, however many years it's been, has been that Verstappen is the golden boy and everybody else is second best. I think that is the one thing everybody knows. And I think they would do well to try and work on that image and give Perez a chance to take some wins here and there. Obviously, situation depending. We've seen how things went off in Bahrain and Perez was nowhere near Max. If he's got the opportunity, that would be great. I think that would be great for their image. Whether or not they do, it's so tricky to say. I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think the opportunity will be there for Max for Perez to get close to Max. But I don't know about the car.
There's a lot of fence
it's
in here.
Be a bit of both,
you,
right?
Stop thinking about these parties that you're going to get invited to.
No. It's not that. Listen, I'm a neutral fan, okay? Which means I'm a neutral person with a sprinkling of Ferrari bias, but not too much. It's more that I think it's 40% car, 40% driver, and then you only unlock that 20% when both of them are perfect. You know, that's when you get your Alonso in P3. That's when you get your Verstappen leading by a minute and a half. That's when you unlock the extra 20%. But if you don't have either of those two good things, then you're going to be coming like fifth or below, is my take on it. It's a hot take.
That's a nice friendly take that allows you to go to all the parties.
Oh,
I get you
it.
Because I will be there right
You'll
with you.
You'll be inviting
definitely.
You. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right, I'm gonna I'll let let Ollie Royal Rumble style come in with the chair and defend his team
off the top rope.
Hey, it's not even my team. You know I'm a Lando Norris guy at the end of the day, Dre. No, I will. I'll say this, like Red Bull can talk about how they're allowing Perez to compete with Max and everything like that. And I'm convinced that Red Bull are allowing Perez to compete with Max. The difference is that Checo can't compete with Max Verstappen. We have been continually told throughout what is still an early career for an F1 driver in Max Verstappen, that he is a supreme elite driver when it comes to his intensity, dedication to the sport. I mean, the guy doesn't take a break, whether it's racing online with his mates, which he then, you know, quit the Le Mans 24-hour e-experience this year because the servers shut down. And he was so irate that he couldn't race fairly in that he was like, well, I'm out. I'm quitting. I'm not doing this anymore. That's how intense this guy is when it comes to competition inside a car. So Checo can have the same car, the exact same setup, and Max will still get more out of it. I was actually watching the qualifying lap from Saudi Arabia 2021 when he clipped the wall on the final corner. And you look how he was driving around that Jeddah circuit that year. it was like a man possessed, and it was genuinely almost perfection aside from him clipping the wall. So the only person that can stop Max in that Red Bull with the power advantage it has at the moment is Max. Are there other drivers that in the same car would certainly be able to push him? For sure, Lewis Hamilton. I'm convinced Charles Leclerc, Lando Norris as well. They're the other two drivers that I'd certainly put in that category of just raw ability and can get the best out of a car. But it is Max's title, I think, to lose if Red Bull can stay as reliable as they finished last year and have the power advantage that they have that we've seen in Bahrain. There's no one else who's going to compete. And whether you want to think that Perez can or not, I think you're going to find out very quickly that any win that Perez gets will probably be kind of gifted to him as a, oh, there you go, Sergio. Oh, unlucky Max. Oh, really pushed him hard. But they can't compete. And Perez wants to beat Max after what happened at the end of last year after Brazil. He's desperate to get one over on the Dutchman. And he can't. Max is just a better driver. I'm sorry, Dre. It could be a really tough season, which is why things like Drive to Survive have been really important for guiding us further down the grid and looking and seeing how interesting Formula One is with Aston Martin and Fernando Alonso kind of coming to the forefront to compete with the likes of Ferrari and Mercedes at this time.
Right. Just as what Aldo said, it's one race, so relax. Everyone. So
what we're gonna... Max is already
crowning. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, so I'm going to park my support for, you know, Mercedes, because I'm going to put all my energy this season into the only contender, and it has to be Sergio Perez. So I'm going to will him to win. Pointless. Sergio, I'm with you. Mexico,
Dre,
I'm with
you're
you.
Uninvited from all those parties I'm going to. I'm not bringing you. I'm sorry. I can't be having you saying stuff like that.
But just while we, I've got a little hope of going to any of these after parties, especially the ones in Miami. Red Bull, hit me up, because I know you're going to put on a good one. Let's go. I'm going to ask you just a quick round, fire round, because we want to talk about liveries in a second. I'm going to ask you guys about, you know, just other bits of news that are on there. So I'll ask you quickly one question, round robin, just very quick, brief answers, and then we will move on to liveries. Right, now, I'm going to start off with you, Aldas. Can Aston Martin challenge for victories?
Yes, absolutely. I think they've got a very quick car. We saw it in Bahrain. They've definitely got the driver to do so. I don't think it's going to be consistently, but just on the odd race when things go absolutely manic, I think they absolutely do, because that Aston Martin was very close to the Red Bull, you know, on certain stints. So it's going to take the right track, the right conditions. But again, in the hands of Fernando Alonso, anything is possible. And I'm manifesting it. I am trying to see this Alonso dub, his first win since 2013. I am trying to see it, and I'm going to make it happen if I need to.
Ollie?
Definitely. You see how well they've developed a car in the off-season from what they had last year to this season. If they can continue that sort of development under the budget cap, got to be under the budget cap, there's no reason why Aston Martin can't prey on any mistakes, minor or major, that Red Bull make.
And Grace, last word.
Yeah, 100%. We've seen what he's done in one race, right? P3 behind both Red Bulls. Beautiful. Let's just imagine. Yeah, like Ollie said, all it takes is one little mistake, one cheeky little Mercedes taking each other out, as they very much occasionally do, or Red Bulls running into each other. I think it's absolutely possible, 100%.
Grace, coming back to you with this one. Will McLaren improve?
I sure hope so, yeah. I'm certain they will. They've got to, right? Like, rock bottom is a place. Yeah, no, I think they 100% will. I think it's unfortunate that it happened in the first race of the year, but I think they will absolutely improve. I think it was a combination of bad luck and, well, whatever else happened to Piastri, but I think bad luck will run out and they will have their good days again.
Aldas?
I mean, they quite literally can't get any worse. I mean, after race one, they're last in the championship. Double DNF. It literally, that's the, look, silver lining. The only way is up for McLaren. I think they're going to be fine. I think they've got two absolute top line drivers. And even if you give Lando Norris an absolute orange tractor with, you know, Kindles on the side for advertising, he is still going to get points in that car. He is still going to push it further than, I think, 70% of the grid can push most of their cars. So I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to improve because, again, I mean, you can't get any worse after having a double DNF, can you?
Oh, my God. Honestly, it just gets worse and worse. Last word for you, Ollie.
if they don't get better, Lando will be looking. So they better get better. I really hope they do. They have to. You can't have 7 pit stops a race for Lando Norris. Can't be having that. So.
Right, coming back to you with this, Ollie. Is there any hope for Mercedes this season? Because Toto Wolff is already admitting defeat on the car's concept, and there's a lot of negativity and moaning, not just from my square in this Zoom, also from them. Is there any hope this season?
You've got a 7-time world champion in the car, and you've got George Russell, one of the best young drivers on the grid. They can definitely pull something out. Again, look how they developed the car over the last 12 months in last season. That can happen again. Mercedes have the ability, the technical knowledge to get it right. Big thing for me is whether the impact of James Vowles leaving or not will be on the team as the season goes on. But yeah, definitely. There's hope, Dre, for you. Not much, but there's hope.
Aldas, coming back to you.
I can make you sweat, mate. I can make you sweat with my answer. But no, I think it is going to get better because, again, when you know, similar to what Ollie said, when you look at how they developed the car really well last year, like, they were genuinely pushing Ferrari for second in the constructors. Like, and when you think about where they started at the beginning of 2022, this is a team that can, you know, develop their car well. But again, you know, they've clearly kind of had a bit of a mind change in terms of the current concept of the car. How is that going to affect their in-season development in 2023? But listen, I think they've got the best driver lineup. When you've got, you know, Sir Lewis Hamilton at your team and George Russell as well, again, the best driver lineup, in my opinion, I think it is going to get better because they'll be able to push, you know, the likes of Ferrari and Red Bull. So I think it will get better, yeah.
Race, full house?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not just saying this to butter you up. It's race one. We've said it before tonight. We'll say it again. It's race one. And I know that Mercedes have a tendency to be hard on themselves when things don't go absolutely A-star perfect. And that will come from years and years of dominance, right? But they have had a rough couple of years, and that's obviously going to be taking a toll on them. But I think that they absolutely can and will improve this season. The other two have said it perfectly, but they have got the best driver lineup on the grid. I think both drivers and the entire team handle everything with class, and they've got a really good team spirit and morale. And I can definitely see them doing well this season.
Right. Okay. So we're going to be speaking about the biggest name in this world of motorsports, Ferrari. Again, just a mess again. I'm going to come back to you because you favour them, Grace. What in the hell is going on in Ferrari?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I have my Ferrari bias, of course. I was really hoping that Frederic Vasseur was going to come in and shake things up, and immediately we'd see these crazy results. And that's to us that obviously sometimes it's not quite as simple as that. I really wish I knew. I can't describe to you the fear and sadness in my heart when I saw 10 minutes before lights out, we had Charles Leclerc, new power unit, no tires on his car on the grid. I just thought, oh gosh, it's happening again. At least they're getting it out of the way early this year, and maybe it'll be something they can spring back from rather than fall into over the course of a season. That's my hope, but that's my always optimistic Ferrari fan vibes speaking there.
I'll just get in there.
I think I talked about it earlier in terms of, I think a little bit of the pressure. Let's look at the positives. You know, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So I think with Ferrari, it's all about pressure because there's more, like you said, you know, the biggest name in motorsport, one of the biggest brands in general, you know, forget about motorsport. And I feel like because of that pressure, because of the pressure of the Tifosi in Italy, like now that expectations have been lowered because they've had an absolute shocker after one race. I mean, Charles Leclerc already taking a 10th place, you know, grid drop for replacing, I think, an ES storage, an electrical storage. So, which is, you only get two, by the way. You get two for the entire year, and they've already gone through both of them in just one race. So, yeah, that's not great. But because the expectations are a little bit lower, because perhaps some of the pressure hopefully has now been taken off because of how bad they've been, hopefully it just allows them to perform a little bit better. And again, it is just one race. And look, Leclerc was not that far away. You know, it wasn't as bad as it looked for Ferrari. Some of the tyre wear was a bit shaky towards the end of the race. But hopefully if we go to tracks that aren't as hard on the tyres, it's going to look a bit better. And they've got Charles Leclerc as well. He's ready to win championships. Is Ferrari going to deliver him the car? We're going to find out. Again, there's so many races still to go. So Ferrari fans, hang in there.
Last word on this, Ollie.
I want to be sat with Mattia Binotto on my sofa with my feet up, a glass maybe of amaretto on ice, and watching the mad scientist just laughing at the same thing happening again, reliability being the problem. Fred Vasseur stuck there, no idea what to do with this team because he's been brought in to prevent the mistakes that were made last year. And if these mistakes with reliability continue, it's so damning on them behind the scenes. Forget all the messes that they made in the pit lane last year. To not rectify the power unit problems that you had and to already be handing your drivers 10 place grid penalties, it's ludicrous. It's a bit like McLaren in that for Leclerc and Ferrari, it could only get better because that's the worst way to start this season. They'll be hoping that it's Verstappen retired in Bahrain last year and won the championship. Maybe it will happen to Leclerc this year.
Right. So we're going to get to the juicy bit that we've all been excited about this whole time. I'm sure that there's going to be rows and arguments. Of course, this section here is brought to you by Honda. Now, we're going to go through the liveries. I'm reading this off just before you guys think that I've got any form of personal bias. I'm reading this off of Formula1.com. Governing body. Here we are. Right, so we're going to do this from one. I can see that Wally's already looking to double check this anyway. So I'm going to go from. What do you want me to do? Reverse order?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're doing reverse order. All right. 5-1. Number five. This is voted by 80,000 people. 7% of it has voted for Aston Martin being the best livery. So, number four. Is 8% Red Bull. Number three is Alfa Romeo, 15%. And number two is Ferrari, which number one is the most stylish. Voted by the F1 fans is Mercedes, definitely by far. Grace, I'll come to you first. Do you agree or not? Or do you want to switch the order?
I don't think I agree with Aston Martin being in there. Look, the colour's nice. I like that it's different, but I don't know if I'd put it in the top five. I think it's clean, it's sleek, it's nice, but I think I'd probably go for a team who've switched their livery up a little bit more this year rather than changing it down a few shades of green, you know.
What's your top five then?
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry to say it, okay, but yes, number one is Mercedes. Black, clean, sleek, beautiful. Don't argue with me, you'll lose. Number two, Ferrari. Now, I know some people just, don't roll your eyes.
I'm 100% rolling the eyes at this one. That car that car is nowhere near the top five best looking cars on the grid this year.
It's gorgeous.
Not that good. It really
it's sexy. It's beautiful. It's red. What more do you want?
I would rather have a Haas over that. No, because you know what? I don't actually like dabbles of black on that Ferrari, because I always remember Ferraris as being red and then the white Marlboro kind of sponsorship from the Schumacher days. So I always thought that red with a touch of white and obviously maybe a dash of yellow with the Ferrari badge looks real sleek. But this, it's like, it's. I know everybody's showing a lot of black because the carbon and trying to reduce paint, and black paint weighs less than white paint anyway.
Black
and
is
all
back, baby.
Look, the Mercedes is without a doubt the best one on the grid. It looks phenomenal. I thought it when they switched it, obviously, for the 2020 and 2021 season, it was the best looking. Going back to silver, they deserve to not be in the championship hunt last year for going back to silver. But that Aston Martin under the lights looked phenomenal. And it won't look as good in the sunshine, but under the lights in Bahrain looked beautiful.
Yeah.
As does the Williams. The Williams looks really nice because it's that dark blue. It blends the black in, so it's not such a stark contrast. Haas needed a makeover, so I will allow them as much white and black contrast as they want because they needed to get away from everything that happened at the beginning of last season. I'm okay with that. Red Bull's bland. It's boring. It's the same thing we've had over and over, and they have better liveries on their practice runs over the last few seasons than we see them actually pulling out on race day. Go back to that Japan Honda livery that they had last year. That was gorgeous. But yeah, Ferrari, come on. That
I
is
think Red
so
Bull
much
the only
quiet.
Thing we all agree on is that Red Bull is bland. Everything else is said. It's opposite day. I don't know. You're winding me up. There's got to be. There's no other explanation.
I will say, though, this is just for me, though.
Go on, Addis. Be the voice of reason.
Listen, Grace is going to hate me because my favorite is the Aston Martin. I mean, what's really funny is that I had the Aston Martin actually as my second favorite. My second favorite going into the season. But after seeing it in Bahrain, the colors are just unbelievable. The way the green pops. I love the little hint of lime as well. Lime essence. It's an Aston Martin color. It's the one that kind of speaks to me the most. It is so nice. And I mean, it helps when it's quick as well. I'm not going to lie. I do love the Mercedes though as well. That's probably in my top three for sure. I mean, it's just, maybe it was the silver that was making it poor, you know, porpoise last year. I don't know, but yeah, listen, I'm going to give a little controversial opinion though, because this livery is just, it's so hated, but I actually love it. I am still a big fan of the Alpine. I love the Miami vibe, you know, the Miami vibes of the blue and the pink, especially in the sunlight. The way that blue pops is just unbelievable. So I'm going to give a shout out to Alpine. I still love that livery. And listen, I'm going to fight for you, Alpine. Don't worry about that. I absolutely love it.
It looks like a Tango Ice Blast.
Hey, look,
I'm all about that.
The quicker they get rid of the all pink one for these first few races and get back to that blue and pink, that is gorgeous. I'm completely with you on this, Aldous. I said it last year when they brought out. Nah, come on.
All pink all year. Let's go.
We're going to fall out, Grace. We're going to fall out real fast.
I love seeing a little silly girly pink.
It's 2v1 here. It's 2v1 here. Alpine is where it's at. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad for once it's on you lot arguing rather than me having to, because we know who's the best looking car. May not be the best performing, but it damn looks good slowly going around the track. That's for sure. Yeah. Even when it's broken down, which it always is.
Can we all agree on the worst livery? What's your least favorite livery?
Okay. Go for it.
Unfortunately, the Red Bull, I think.
I think, actually, I'll quickly go in. For me, it's the AlphaTauri. I feel like the AlphaTauri is just like trying to be the Haas, but nowhere near as good. I saw it in the pictures and like the studio renders when they kind of first released it. I wasn't sure too about it. It got a little bit better when I saw it on track, but it's still definitely, I think we have actually a good grid of liveries. I think all the liveries are kind of, at the very least, like, you know, okay, but I'm not a fan of the AlphaTauri. I'm just not loving the bits of red. It doesn't fit as good as the, as you know, I think they think they look, but yeah, that's my at the bottom. Sorry, AlphaTauri.
I love the team. I wish nothing ill on them at all. But can we not pretend that the McLaren doesn't look like it's been made by like a school kids project? Like there's too much color going on. The orange and black doesn't work as well. A beautiful papaya and blue like a few years ago, or that golf livery that they had at Monaco. Yeah. I mean, those were phenomenal. And this one comes out and the Google wheels was nice for a second. But when they're going really slowly, the color really stands out way too much. And unfortunately, they're going really slowly at the moment as well. So
they're not even going, mate. They're stuck.
It's great for Google. It's terrible for the rest of us. So yeah, I think McLaren looks the worst, I'm afraid.
Like the McLaren. It's all right. Sorry, yeah, no, we can go on for hours.
We're going to have peace before we break up. Aldous, where can people find you and what have you got coming up next?
So my main focus is on my channel, which is literally just my name, Aldous, A-L-D-A-S. Everything else is Aldas001. That's all of my social medias. It's actually because Aldas is for some reason taken, even though it's not exactly a common name, so I was absolutely fuming. But yeah, I always cover Formula One on my channel. I've got a lot of fun stuff talking about some young drivers, some up and coming future world champions potentially. That's a little video that I've got in the works, and also just covering the season and talking F1 with other content creators as well. I'm also hoping to do, I recently did a live show actually with fans as well, so I'm hoping to do another one of those in the next few months. That was really, really fun. And yeah, just talking F1 with amazing people like you guys.
Oh, you see that? You see? Love in the end after all so much war. Grace, what have you got coming up?
Thank you. You can find me on Gracing Line, which is on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. And also I'm part of a girl group called F Series. We are also on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. We've got a couple of fun trips coming up to a couple of different motorsport events. So please stay tuned over on our socials for those. And a bit like Alda said, just a load of start of the season content coming, predictions, bingo, forfeits, all sorts.
Forfeits? Okay, I definitely think we should be implementing that over here. What say you, Ollie?
I mean, you'll have to do so many with your anti-Red Bull bias this year. I'm all for that.
You won't be able to agree on the forfeits.
It'll just be the Red Bull merch that Dre picks up for free when he's out doing his influencer parties. He'll have to wear every single podcast after Bull win.
Oh, we'll see, you know what? I do have some friends in Red Bull, and you know I love you, and I'm just joshing with you. You know, just please, you know, just consider
now.
Me for all...
Please
events
let me
you've got coming up in the sun. Please let me in.
Don't
have me embarrassed. Please. Please.
You'll be in an orange cap by the end of this season. I guarantee it.
I'm trying to see that.
He's number one, man. He's number one.
Biggest fan. I've always been a fan. Right, okay. For more F1 content, check out Verge on vergemagazine.co.uk. Myself on at DRE365. Ollie's always with me. Ollie, you got what you got coming up? Other sports count too.
I'm doing the Italian football this weekend for BT Sport. GP Fans Global on YouTube is the YouTube F1 channel I work for. And yeah, I'm just anywhere and everywhere on O_J_Wilson.
Right, so we're going to get these two back. I've already strangled Grace for the season already. We'll be getting big dog Aldas in. We're going to pressure him to come back. We'll ask him now, Aldas, are you going to come back more often on this on the channel? Pressure people. Public pressure always works. Aldas?
Oh, exactly, peer pressure. We love to see it. Absolutely, mate. Just hit me up anytime. I'm always up for, you know, having a little dig at Dre and all of his terrible opinions. So I'm totally here for it.
Little bit Milwaukee Bucks, but Boston Celtics rivalry coming in there. But we'll catch you guys next time. Thank you for listening to us argue, and we'll be bringing you a lot of fun F1 content with these gangs. You know, next time. So we'll catch you again. Peace.
Bye.